Hi, everybody. My name is Danette. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic and actually quite nervous. And I'm not usually used to that. I haven't spoken in or shared my story in an OA meeting in over 10 years. And I came into program 40 years ago in California. And, you know, how it was, what it's like now, you know, all of that. It's an amazing change beyond my wildest dreams in many, many ways. I grew up in Montana. I never felt like I belonged. Let me see how I would say this. I thought I rehearsed this in my head, you guys, but clearly 5 a.m. in the morning, not so much. The first time I didn't grow up as a compulsive overeater in my mind, but I was always felt as though I was fat. And it started when I was 5 years old. My brother is a year older than me, and he was in his first grade play. And my father took a picture of him. And of course, being a great sibling that I am, I begged him to take a picture of me too. And when the pictures came back, and I don't know if he actually did take a picture of me, there wasn't a picture of me, and I asked him why not, and he said because I was too fat. And I think in my family there was lots of joking. That was just the way things were done. I don't think he meant any harm by it in that way, but the way I took it in was that little seed that I just built everything around. I also had, my mom didn't have the whole food thing in her world. That wasn't big to her. But my dad's sister and my cousin, they were always dieting. And it's just sort of the air I breathe. They were very influential in my life. And my cousin is like drop dead gorgeous, drop dead. And I knew I was never going to measure up. And that's sort of how my thinking skewed. You know, it skewed very much right and wrong, black and white, perfect, not perfect. There was perfection and then everything else. And I was never going to attain perfection. That's sort of how I lived. And food really didn't come into a play until right after puberty. And I was not able to deal with that whole guy thing. And food became something I did. And the first time I remember eating where I knew I was different than everyone else is I had moved between the eighth grade into high school, moved towns, and a friend of mine came to visit, and we were baking and doing something. And she would be able to be with my family and talk. And I was always going back in the kitchen to eat what was ever there. And I was always drawn to the food, and that just progressed a lot. And I steadily gained weight, but I had a magic mind where I just didn't deal with it. I knew I wasn't going to fit in. I knew I wasn't perfect. I knew I didn't belong, and I did everything I could to not acknowledge that. So I went off to college, gained more weight in college. But my senior year, I decided, okay, this is it. I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to be perfect and life is going to be good. And that's the way it's going to go. And I joined a commercial weight loss group with my landlady, and she taught me how to do diets. And that was in a commercial weight loss group. You don't eat anything 3 days before the meeting, so that you can make the right weight. And then you eat everything you want for 2 days. And it was just this sort of thing. And I have to tell you guys, I suck at dieting. I absolutely fail at it. I don't lose weight that way. It just didn't work for me. And it also skewed my brain in one way of foods were good and bad. And I could only eat good foods. And if I ate a bad food, that meant I had to binge. And it was full on. So again, my senior year, I'm trying to be perfect because when I want to graduate college and I'm going to go away to my job and I'm going to be perfect because I'm going to move. I remembered something my cousin, my beautiful cousin who was perpetually dieting, would say, that every time before she started a new diet, she would throw up. Just to be clean, just to start it with this clean slate. And I thought, all right, maybe I'll give that a shot. So that was sort of like maybe once a month that would happen. And then maybe once a week. And then maybe once a day. And then maybe many, many, many times a day. I graduated college. I moved to San Francisco. And it just got worse. My weight never got... I'm 5'2", I think my top weight, and I love this when we all say it, my top weight that I know of was 155, because after that I just didn't go on a scale, so it could have been more, but it was just awful. I used to take the bus to work, I would get off the bus, come home, get off the bus, get in my car, and drive to all these bakeries. And I'd have my pink boxes, and I would get home, and I would eat all this food, and then I would throw it out before my roommate got home so we could go out to dinner. And then I would come home and I would have to take a shower because then I would throw up again. And that was just life, and it was god-awful. My roommate, luckily enough, had a roommate in college who had lost all this weight in Overeaters Anonymous. And I would hear it, so I thought, I wonder what that is. And the one thing my roommate said about her roommate was that she had gone to a meeting with her and she said, "It's kind of weird, and they talk about God a lot." And I thought, I don't care. If it's going to help me, I don't care. So I would call the number. This is a lot of time, long time ago, you guys, 40 years ago. You didn't go online, but you call the number, and they would give you the list of meetings, and I would call it daily, but I didn't ever go. I would call, and I would hear all about the meetings. And then finally, I think it was March 7th, 1982, I went to my first meeting, and I had no clue what was going on. They read the steps, and I thought, okay, I agree with that. I started with a sponsor. I got abstinent. I was abstinent for 30 days, and then one day I was at home, and something from the cabinet called me, and it kept saying my name, and I listened, and I ate it again. So off I went again, and then... I was working in San Francisco and I requested a transfer because I thought if I transferred to another location, I could be perfect. You know, a clean slate, you know, the whole bulimia thing, clean slate, get that started. And I moved to Pennsylvania. And as my story goes, I was off the plane in my hotel room and had already binged and vomited. So that went on for a bit. And then December of 1982 was when I became abstinent. So how did that happen? I was walking into work one day. The food was god-awful. And I remember thinking, I don't care. I don't care if I ever lose another pound. I don't care if I lose a pound. I just want to be able to eat 3 meals a day without being obsessed with food and thinking, is it good? Is it bad? Am I right? Am I wrong? I just wanted that freedom. And that line in the big book, "Release me from the bondage of self," was magic. So I got a sponsor, and I have to tell you the story about my sponsor. As I was looking around the rooms, they say, get someone who has what you want. So I was looking at all the young, thin women, thinking, that's who I'm going to ask. In the particular meeting that I went to, I was huge. I had a big circle. And in the middle of the meeting was a break. And so everybody would, you know, socialize at that break. And I remember I was walking across the circle and this woman said to me, "How are you?" And it wasn't one of those, "Hey, how are you?" She really asked, "How are you?" And I said, "Well, really, I'm struggling and I need to find a sponsor." And she said, "Well, I'm a sponsor." And I thought, oh, darn, because she was older. She wasn't thin and not what I wanted, but magic, magic, magic. The woman was magic. Absolute magic. It was the first time in a long time that someone saw me. Someone saw me. They wanted to know how I was. And they reflected back everything that I needed to know from the time I was a child. And not to say that she was my savior or that, but it was that opening. It was that opening that we all need, and those fellows that we can travel with in this program. And I started working with her, doing the steps. I got involved in a lot of step meetings. We used to do things back in the day of, it was like a 3-month step study you did with a closed group. Did that many times, lots of service, lots of meetings. I was young. I was single. I could go to as many meetings as I wanted to. And I pretty much went to a meeting every day, and I used to go to 3 on Saturdays. I went to a lot of AA meetings. I shared a lot, never in the AA meeting, but I shared a lot. And the other thing I thought of is, you know, when I was thinking about sharing my story here, what is it? What is the key that changes your life? And for me, it was the fellows. It's the people in these rooms. It's the people who you talk to, that you hear their voices in your head when you're going through something. It's not a place to do things alone. And you find those safe people. My sponsor used to tell me, when you're going through tough stuff, gather your safe people around you. Just gather them around you. And I can't express enough how important that is to have fellows. The meetings are great. The phone calls are great. Everything else is great. But for me, it's the fellows. It's that magic. It's that sanity. It's all of that that you hear. And it's that sharing of the hurts, the scars, the traumas that we've all had in different ways. Okay, so here you're going along. I'm doing all this thing, being abstinent, got married, couldn't believe that, had kids, couldn't believe that. And I'm thinking, if you do all the things right, your life is going to go right. Everything's going to be as it should be. But as it should be was how I thought it should be. But anyway, I got into I have a daughter, and she started to have trouble in high school, and I had to go to another program to deal. And I stepped away from OA and stepped away from some of my fellows. My sponsor, my lovely sponsor, got Alzheimer, and I lost touch with her. And I have to say that I lost faith. I really did. I lost faith. I stepped away. I didn't really get back into the food, but I stepped away, and I was lost. And, painful time, painful. And not so much painful as disorienting. I didn't know, you know, I just didn't know. It's crazy, all of that. But in the last 6 months, I think about in January, I started thinking, man, I just can't do this by myself. The other program was great for what I was dealing with in that, but the food was talking. I was listening. And I tried every day. You know, we all know the drill, right? Today's going to be the day. I'm going to wake up, and today I'm going to blah, blah, blah. I'm going to get it perfect. I'm going to get it right. And I just couldn't do it. And I didn't want to admit it, because I hate to tell you this, guys, but I was a star. I was a star. And to admit that to people, that I'm not a star, first of all, let's just know that I'm not. But I had, that's what I had done. But anyway, so I have a friend I kept in contact with, and I said, you know, how am I going to get to a meeting? I go to work at 6:00 in the morning. And when I come home, I deal with a lot of craziness. And she said, well, Danette, there's a 5:00 meeting. I was like, really? Really? And anyway, so I started coming here, and it was, you know, that moment we all have is where we reach out our hand and say, I need help. And the amazing thing was, is I don't really think I even said that, and people reached out to me. And it just starts that ball rolling again of, I connect, I belong, I'm worthwhile, And the things I've learned in the program are really that, you know how in this divorce step we're all worried about what we're going to find out? And I think the thing I was worried most about was that I was going to find out that I wasn't good enough. And what I found out from you guys, my sponsor, everything, I'm a worthwhile human being. I have something to say. I have something to give.
5 minutes left.
And you guys want it. And I want everything that you say. And the other thing that I learned is that, and I remember my sponsor sharing this with me as it was a revelation to her. She said, you know, Dennett, I need every person in that meeting. When I sit in a meeting, I look around the room and I recognize I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. And that's the truth. I need all of you. I need all of you, and I need to hear what you have to say. And I take that in, and sometime during the day, it comes back to me. And it's what I feel. And so how does this program work to someone who's struggling? You find your fellows. You find your fellows. You go to as many meetings as you can. You get a sponsor, and you wake up every day and you believe, I don't have to be perfect. I can be loved as I am now, and I can work towards that, whether I believe it or not. And it's true in that line. You will come to love yourself, the one where we love you. And that is the absolute truth. And so, wow, okay. Okay, that's it. So I am very, very happy that there are people who get up at 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever time you're at and come to this meeting, because it's an anchor, and I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me share.